Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I have a motto.
Oh boy, here we go.
I eat and drink Noel for breakfast.
So every day I eat nails for breakfast.
Would in fact have a big breakfast.
This is getting way more like Breakfast Club now.
There's breakfast.
I eat success for breakfast with skim milk.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
If you are in a circumstance that you're not able to provide, well, let me cut to the chase. I'm taking too long.
Could we cut to the chase?
Cut to the chase?
Yeah.
Well, what are you, Joe Hollywood?
A lot of people say it.
I would lose that.
What's that?
Lose that? That's not a Hollywood expression.
Yes, it is.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. This is Howie Carr, and this is the last hour of the show this week. We've got a lot of stuff to still get to, some poll numbers, and we'll tell you about the ongoing petition drives. But the first thing we want to do is talk about this case with Alec Baldwin out in New Mexico. He was filming a new movie. I guess he's the producer, director, and he was the star. 68 years old. It was called Rust. And yesterday he was on the set and he had a gun that I guess was supposed to just be part of the movie. And for some reason he pointed it not at another actor who was playing a heavy or whatever. He pointed it at the cinematographer, the director of photography, a 42-year-old woman. And he fired it and killed her. And I guess standing behind her was the director, and the director was wounded. And he's since been released from the hospital in Santa Fe. This happened at the Bonanza Creek Ranch, which is just outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I guess that's where they shoot occasionally Westerns. I didn't know they were still making many Westerns, but I guess this is one of the places they filmed them. It's sort of a rural western desert area, good for cowboy movies. And so the question remains, what the hell happened here with a live ammo in a gun? And what was he doing aiming it at somebody who wasn't even an actor? So joining us now on the line to talk about this is Brendan from Cape Gunworks. Toby, you may hear him sometimes on with Grace, and Toby's got his own show for Cape Gunworks. But Toby's voice is shot today, so we've got his co-owner Brendan on with us. Brendan, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Howie, thank you so much for having me. And this story does make us all cringe, really, Howie. The first thing I thought was, you know, why would someone be pointing a gun at even a non-actor? Even if it was a gun, and there are safety precautions that need to be met there. So it's just tragic on all fronts, and it's a little early to pass judgment or, you know, for us to figure out exactly why it happened. I have a few theories, but we don't know yet, quite frankly.
Well, what I don't understand is how did a live round get into it? I mean, again, we've all seen movies about mysterious shootings, and it's always somebody who decides to kill somebody. But this appears to be an accident so far. I mean, how could a live round of ammunition get into a gun on a movie set?
Well, they often use real guns loaded with blanks, but you know, to do that, you could have a live round get accidentally mixed in. There could be an obstruction in the barrel. You know what I mean? Something could be in there and it could act like a projectile. So that blank, which has real gunpowder, could build up enough pressure to push a projectile out and be lethal. It could be a defective blank where they put something else in there besides, you know, small wadding material and gunpowder. Or, you know, maybe he was distracted and grabbed the wrong gun by mistake, or his own carry gun. I mean, who knows? It's a little early to tell. But this has happened before. We've all heard about the Brandon Lee incident in 1993, where that was a 44 you know, bullet fragment of some sort was in the blank gun and caused him to die. And it happened to another actress, too.
Right. And it's and in many movies, as I said, fictional and novels, that kind of thing. In a pair of tweets today, Baldwin said his heart is broken, adding, "There are no words to convey my shock and sadness regarding the tragic accident that took the life of Helena Hutchins, a wife, mother, and deeply admired colleague of ours. I'm fully cooperating with the police investigation to address how this tragedy occurred, and I am in touch with her husband, offering my support to him and his family." She left, I guess, one little boy, as she had one child. So this is, I mean, does he need a license to, I assume, you know, all these guys in New York who are big libs, they all, like De Niro, they all have licenses to carry, even though they claim they don't want, that they don't believe in the Second Amendment. But does he need a license? Have you checked to see if he needs a license to carry in New Mexico, or is it a reciprocal state, or how does that work?
I'm not sure about New Mexico, Howie, but you're dead on. A lot of the people who are the most vocal anti-gun people often have guns of their own, and their security teams certainly have plenty of guns. So it's usually
like Bloomberg, the mayor, the former mayor.
Good for me, but not for thee.
Right, he's surrounded by this huge crowd. He's about 5'7", 5'8", and he's surrounded by these ex-New York cops, all of whom are over 6 feet tall, and they're all packing.
Right, but for the average Joe, we have to fend for ourselves.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, you know, I'm totally opposed to red flag laws, you know, where you could just call in and say somebody shouldn't be carrying a gun. But, I mean, if you were ever going to use a red flag, it would seem like an Alec Baldwin character would be the person you would call, right? I mean, the guy's he's got a record of just, a really abysmal behavior, including towards his own kids, leaving them nasty messages, screaming and using obscenities against them. I mean, this guy is somebody that, I would think would have a problem getting a permit if he wasn't one of the beautiful people.
Absolutely, Howie. In this state, he would never get a permit with the stuff that I see in the paper that he's been, you know, charged with substance abuse and, not controlling his temper and predicaments with other people. That's usually a red flag here to get your license in Massachusetts, not to mention that he just wasn't safe. You know, he should have taken a gun safety class at a local range like ours, you know?
I mean, as I recall it, the first thing you learn in a gun safety class is never to point a firearm at another human being unless you're planning on shooting him, right?
Exactly. You know, theatrics, I know he wasn't shooting at an actor in this case, unless those two were playing actors, which I don't think was the case, but
no.
There's even ways with camera angles and whatnot, usually on sets, and I've worked with blank guns and theatrical productions a little bit, not in a professional area like this, but there's usually a minimum distance or a distance that you need to be away from the muzzle, and even with camera angles, you can aim, you know, a little bit off to the side of the bad guy, so to speak, to just minimize any potential problems if there's like a defective blank, for instance.
Now, you know, we always hear a lot about blanks. You know, we all grew up hearing about them in movies or reading about them and all that stuff. But I spent a good amount of time at Cape Gunworks this summer with Grace, you know, doing the show and all that. I never saw like any blanks for sale. Where the hell do you get blanks? Do you sell blanks?
They're not very common, but yes, we do sell them, and we get a small amount of demand for them. They use them, sometimes the guys who do the parades and everything to reenact, you know, Renaissance guns or whatever have blanks. But they are loud. They use real gunpowder. They're crimped and they're packed with a wadding type substance. So they can be quite dangerous, especially if the gun was used before. Maybe there's a squib load, so the projectile is lodged in the barrel from a prior use, and then you load a blank in there, not knowing there's an obstruction of the barrel. And that comes to play with where's the set armorer? You know, they're supposed to be an expert on scene to constantly and voraciously, you know, inspect all these weapons for safety.
Right. Well, I think the union said that there were none of their members were on the set yesterday, as if to say,
and
you know.
I noticed that, Howie. They were very quick to say that. They said, oh, these weren't the local 44 guys. This was, you know, local New Mexican crew
here.
Yeah.
And they weren't talking about 44 caliber. They were talking about local 44 is what they meant. And so I don't know. I just don't know what. I mean, nobody knows at this point what happened. He's supposedly the producer of this movie too. So he's got to deal with liability here. He's not only the guy who pulled the trigger, but he's the guy who was ultimately responsible for what happens on the set, isn't he?
He's going to be in hot water, Howie. You know, maybe, quite frankly, they should have used one of those pepper ball blasters that you mentioned earlier in the show, and we actually have some of these in the store. I saw Grace reading that story, and they do exist. They shoot like a paintball, but it has pepper in there. A lot safer than blanks or a real
really?
Gun.
Yeah, but I don't think that would work in a Western, though. But how much does one of those pepper balls cost?
Well, the whole assembly with the firing unit and some balls and everything—it's like a couple hundred bucks.
So you have a special weapon that you use to shoot the pepper balls. Is it used
yeah.
for sport, like some of these paint spray people do? They have
no,
games.
No, this is strictly defensive. It's you know, goes up to 40 feet. You know, it has a
40 feet.
A 12-foot
wow.
cloud of pepper when the pepper ball explodes or hits something. It's 12-foot diameter of bad irritation that's going to really mess you up. So you don't want to have too much sport with this. But hey, maybe they could retroactively fit the Western guns with this stuff, and maybe an inert load, so people won't get killed on the.
Do you need a license to carry for one of these weapons?
No, this is not considered a firearm, so you don't need a license in Massachusetts for these.
Wow, that's interesting. Then next time I'm down there, show me. I want to see one of those. That's pretty. That's pretty interesting. Brendan from Cape Gunworks down in Hyannis. It's a great place to go. How's the ammo supply holding out?
Ammo it's holding steady. It's trickling down and flying out the doors, but we're trying to get it in as fast as it's coming out. So supplies are dwindling, and we got the hunting sale that was just launched, so come get all your hunting supplies, as we got 20% off on the hunting gear. So come on in and get ready for Christmas.
Okay, someone says I should volunteer to be hit by one of those pepper balls. No, I don't think so. 207,
can
you
do can
volunteer.
Promo video.
No, you can volunteer. I don't need to do that. All right, Brendan from Cape Gunworks, thanks for being with us. And you're gonna have the petitions tomorrow. Or the guy's coming in to get the petition. Oh, he's already gone. Okay. All right. We'll talk about the petitions when we come back for the referendum questions coming up. There's so much going on in the world, you can't always control the vibes out there. But what you can always control is the vibes in your head with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. The weekend is now almost upon us, and this is the time when you want to spend time with your loved ones, but maybe you don't share the same musical or podcast tastes as the people that you're around on the weekends. That's why you need some Raycon wireless earbuds, and their new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. The new everyday earbuds come with an improved rubber oil look and feel and optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit. What are you thinking about this weekend, Taylor, for your Raycon listening experience?
Well, this weekend I'm taking care of my one-year-old, so I've got to keep both ears open for him. But this past week I did a lot of flying, going back and forth to Palm Beach with you. And I had to get to sleep on the plane sometimes, and I don't want to listen to nothing. I don't want to hear the conversation that's behind me about some inane thing. So I popped in my Raycons and listened to some Jackie Gleason. Put me
Jackie
right to sleep. Yep.
Oh, lounge lizard music.
Yes.
That was he made a lot of money. He made a lot of money on everything he did, but he made a lot of money on those albums from the 1950s and early 1960s. So you can listen to anything. I've been listening to Swing City Radio, an internet radio. You got to check that one out, Taylor. You'll like that. I think it may even be better than BiltmoreRadio.org that I've introduced people to.
Very good. I'll try it.
You can listen to anything you want, and you're not going to be bothering anybody else. No one's going to be complaining about what you're playing. play when you get your Raycon wireless earbuds. They have three new sound profiles in the everyday earbuds to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. You can get pure mode, that's podcast listening, blues, instrumental, etc. Balanced mode for podcasts, rock, heavy, rock, metal, or bass mode for hip-hop, EDM, reggae. So Taylor was probably listening to pure mode when he was going down listening to Jackie Gleason's big band. Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life, long enough to just go the entire weekend, just about. There's also a built-in mic, and you can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands, and Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. You will be happy. Right now, Howie Car Show listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Holding the Hackorama accountable is a full-time job.
I'm shocked, to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Howie Carr will be back after this short break. The Howie Carr Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Just for our listeners, save $200 on the 3-Pack through this Sunday. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3. Howie3. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Joe Biden be president a year from today?
I think he will, because Kamala Harris. I'll leave it at that.
60% now say no.
All right. 844-500-4242. Okay, we're coming down to the we're in the last month where that we have to get signatures to get a couple of ballot questions onto the statewide ballot next year in Massachusetts. These are referendum questions. One would stop Charlie Parker's insane TCI tax, transportation and climate initiative tax. He's desperate to raise the gas tax, perhaps as high as 62 cents from its current 24 cents. That's according to a one study in from Tufts University. They claim it's only going to be 5 to 9 cents that they would raise it to save the polar bears and the penguins. It's all BS. It's just for the Hackorama to provide more money for the MBTA pensions and phony baloney hack jobs. But we want to put it on the ballot, and the way to do it is they're not allowing a vote in the legislature. They claim they have the right to unilaterally raise the gas tax, just like they have the right to unilaterally prevent you from going to church or the gym or a restaurant without wearing a mask unless you order a full meal, but you can't order an appetizer. I mean, Charlie Parker's out of control, obviously. So the way to find out where to sign the petition, you go to stoptcitax.com, stoptcitax.com. And every week there are different places to sign the petition. I noticed that on Sunday you can go to my market basket in Waltham and sign in the afternoon. But just go and see where you can sign in your neck of the woods. The other big petition question is to require voter ID in Massachusetts. And that website is massvoterid.com, massvoterid.com. And in many cases, you can sign both petitions at the same location. They're big supermarkets or dumps down on the Cape and various places. I noticed there's the Big Y in Greenfield I think that's the first time I've seen that one. I used to live in Deerfield, so I'm interested in where you can sign in Franklin County. But anyway, massvoterid.com and stoptcitax.com. If you follow me on Twitter, we always every weekend put out the links to the website. So check it out and get out there and sign if you want the voter integrity in Massachusetts and you don't want to be even crushed more at the gas prices, and show Charlie Parker where you stand on his insane tax. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr. There's so much going on in the world, whether it's stuff you're excited about or stuff you'd rather not think about for too long. You can't always control the vibes out there, but you can always control the vibes in your head with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. Raycons are my go-to for on-the-go audio, and their new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. They come with an improved rubber oil look and feel, plus three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best, with just the right amount of bass. There's also a built-in mic so you can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And they come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Right now, my listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Rambo413 says, I'll be collecting signatures tomorrow at Big Y Market in Southampton. There's three petitions, gas tax, voter ID, and right to life. And I just looked it up on one of the websites. Rambo's going to be there for 5 hours from 10 to 3. Boy, you got that's duty. You're above and beyond the call of duty Rambo. 5 hours is a long time to be collecting signatures. 844-500-4242. And again, check out the websites, massvoterid.com and stoptcitax.com. And chances are there'll be a supermarket or a dump or something near, you'll be passing by and you can sign the petition. And we've really got to keep their feet to the fire here. 844-500-4242. 774 says, Howie, anti-gun Alec Baldwin has now shot and killed more people with his movie prop revolver than I ever have with my so-called assault weapon. Irony can be pretty ironic sometimes. We have sympathy for and condolences to the families, especially of the director of photography, the cinematographer, 42 years old, left behind.
What was a live round doing on that set to begin with?
I don't know. I mean, that's the question for the sheriff's department, isn't it, out in Santa Fe? Nobody seems to know that.
You figure if you're going to be making any shots on the set, the gun is going to be handled by a professional.
Yeah.
Or CGI.
Well, I mean, again, the union said there was nobody from the union out there, so they were trying to cut costs. And you know, you'll notice they weren't shooting in Hollywood. A lot of these companies, even the ones that are run by wokesters like Alec Baldwin, they try to save a few bucks by not shooting on a back lot in Hollywood. So they're on the road and.
A lot of the camera crew, including Helena, walked off the set a couple of days ago, right?
They did?
Yeah.
Why? They had
disputes over the work, and they weren't getting paid.
I haven't seen that story.
They were forced to commute 50 miles in every day because they weren't allowed to stay the next town over.
Oh, wow. I tell you that when I got involved in my brief movie career in Hollywood for a civil action, I was taken from my motel to my the studio on Santa Monica Boulevard every morning. A guy picked me up. They gave me $50 cash every day. That was for my expenses, $50 in 1997. Plus, they had catered food, the breakfast and lunch. I can see where they would get kind of disturbed. But on the other hand, I mean, would you back a movie with Alec Baldwin as a Western hero at the age of 68? I wouldn't. Well,
Clint Eastwood's getting funding, and he's 93 or whatever. So I mean,
well, Clint Eastwood has a lot better track record, doesn't he?
He's had a lot longer to establish that track record too.
Yeah, but I, you know. there are a million good Clint Eastwood movies. I can't think of Alec Baldwin. What has he got? Was it Glenn Ross.
That was
that's,
one of his.
That's about it, isn't it?
The Departed.
Right down to it.
The Departed. He was pretty good in that.
I guess. That was not one of my favorite movies anyway, but that's neither here
nor there.
Why,
because nobody was playing you?
No. That movie was not about Boston. You understand that, right? I mean, that was a Hong Kong movie that was just rewritten to seem like it was Boston. I don't know. Just not one of my favorites. Not one of my favorite Jack Nicholson movies either, by the way. Yeah, okay, all right. 844-500-4242. I want to mention that we talked about a poll that came out. It was a Democrat Governors Association poll. They hired this group, PPP, from North Carolina to do it. And they just wanted to see how Charlie Parker was doing in the polls after the endorsement of Donald Trump for his opponent, ex-state representative Jeff Deal, who ran against the fake Indian in 2018. And it was pretty amazing that their poll, the Democrats' poll of Massachusetts Republican voters, showed that Charlie Parker was losing to Jeff Deal by a margin of 50-29 if he runs for a third term. I know. In spite of the fact that supposedly Charlie Parker is one of the most popular governors in the country, and sometimes they even say that he is the most popular governor. But I mean, we just got a copy of the internals of the poll, the crosstabs, I guess you call them, and it's just amazing. It's worse than 50-29. And this is from the first page of the poll. These poll results show Jeff Deal is the likely GOP nominee in 2022, regardless of whether Charlie Baker tries to run for a third term. And so, again, as I said, it was 50-29 in the poll numbers we cited a couple of nights ago when we had Jeff Deal on, and there was a story in both newspapers about this. So that's before all the voters are informed that Trump has endorsed Deal. And I mean, we've talked about it a lot, but not everybody listens to this show, unfortunately. Not everybody reads the Boston Herald, unfortunately. So the 50-29 margin, Taylor, would you care to guess what it becomes when the voters learn that Trump has endorsed Jeff Deal?
Does it just completely flip around?
No. Jeff Deal gets a bigger lead.
Oh, wow.
He goes from 50-29 to being ahead 27-25. So he has more than doubles Charlie Parker when they find out that Trump has endorsed him. So they asked, do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of the incumbent Republican governor? This is, again, asking Republican voters. They have a 54 unfavorable to 30 favorable view of Charlie Parker. Do you know what the view is for Donald Trump among Republican voters in Massachusetts, Taylor?
I'm going to say 70 favorable.
Try 85-16.
Wow.
85 to 15 favorable for Trump. So Trump has a 55% higher favorability rating than the incumbent governor. Of course, he's done a lot better job than the incumbent governor. According to this description, Charlie Parker can't get to 40% in any single demographic group of Republican voters in Massachusetts. He can't get to 40%. And they also said, do you want the nominee in 2022 in Massachusetts to remain loyal to Trump? Would you care to guess what that vote is?
Go ahead. Just give it to me.
75-16. They want the nominee to stay loyal to Trump. And of course, this is a Dem poll, the Democrat poll, and I think they're just trying to, you know, urge, so to speak. In this case, they are urging. That's an overused word in politics. But they are urging Mara Healey to get into the race, I think. And they're saying that the majority of Massachusetts Republicans adhere to Trump's toxic and extreme views. So this is a these are very interesting numbers, and it it makes me more and more confident that Charlie Parker is not going to run again. The last thing he would like is to leave getting smashed in the in his own party's primary, much like Mike Dukakis did in 1978, much like Jane Swift would have been had she not dropped out in 2002 when Willard Mitt Romney was running against her. 844-500-4242. 860, a Polito versus Jeff Deal debate would revolutionize the Wizard of Oz radio gold in the making. I wonder if Karen Polito would even, I guess she's got $2 million, but you know, that's not really enough to run for governor. I don't think Deal has very much money either, but I mean, does Polito want to waste the money? Polito doesn't have a chance. She doesn't have a chance in the primary. If Charlie Parker is behind like this, what do you think Karen Polito's got to be even further behind, doesn't she? They won't even let her go on the chat shows on Monday. There's on Sunday morning. There's still a couple of them left. I don't watch them, but I guess somebody does. And apparently the Baker people won't let her go on because she's so so pathetic. Well, we've seen her publicly. She can't even handle a Zoom meeting of the governor's council without getting her head handed to her. What's she going to do in a debate? I mean, Mara Healey is not exactly the second coming of Margaret Thatcher, but she could handle Polito with no problem. I wonder if Polito would run. Although they are putting Polito out on the road. Charlie Parker does one event a day.
This is personal, because the Coos is one of us.
Thank you. Thanks for saying that, Karen, but that doesn't change my opinion. Oh, she was talking about the other Coos. The Coos I was named after when I was at Deerfield Academy. Bob Cousy. But, she spends a lot of time in Worcester, where there are a lot of Republicans out there. She spends a lot of time down around Plymouth, where there's sort of a base of Republicans around there. She's on the Cape sometimes. She's moving around the state, but I'm not sure it's going to do her much good. And the other thing is she's big with Charlie Parker, obviously, but she likes to be seen she's seen without a mask. She gets caught a lot. She's not real fast on her feet. Paul, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Howie?
Hi,
yeah,
good.
I was calling about the governor's race, and, first of all, I'm a big Trump supporter, big fan of your show, and I'd like to see Jeff Deal. I think Jeff Deal, pretty much exemplifies what a lot of Republicans, not just Republicans, but conservatives, independents, independents that lean right.
Yeah.
But I just don't see him beating Mara Healey. He's just going to get spanked, just like he gets spanked by Elizabeth Warren. You just can't win in this state when you're a conservative.
I understand, Paul, but I mean, what's the point of voting for Charlie Parker again?
Well, to keep Mara Healey out.
But what's the recurring question, Paul? What's the difference?
Well, I think he's a lot more conservative than she is. She's way out there. She's Elizabeth Warren left.
But I mean, would a real Republican have shut down the state over this virus? And would a real Republican be on the verge of firing a huge percentage of the prison guards of maybe 100 state cops because they won't get the vaccination?
No, but just think of what Mara Healey will do. You see what she's done as Attorney General. She's been, she's just been way worse than Charlie Parker, And I just, it's like, when you were talking about, in 2020 when Susan Collins was running, it's like, well, you got to vote for her over the Democrat,
Right.
And I mean,
But I think compared to Charlie Parker, Susan Collins is Ted Cruz, isn't she?
I don't know about look, Trump got trounced by Biden in Massachusetts. How is somebody that supports Trump have any kind of a chance to win in Massachusetts? And believe me, Jeff Deal, he's like everything I would love in a governor.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really sad that you can't.
I say one day at a time, Paul. I understand what you're saying, and Trump was saying, you know, let's not kid ourselves. That's what he said on my show. Let's not kid ourselves. It's an uphill battle. But, you know, I mean, sometimes you just have to punish people for just being rotten governors and rotten human beings on top of everything else. That's the way I feel about Charlie Parker. And obviously, most of the Republican voters in Massachusetts feel the same way. But thank you. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I understand your argument, and you make some good points. But I just think, sometimes you have to spank somebody. You're talking about getting spanked. Charlie Parker needs a good spanking. No one could have ever predicted how hot and competitive the real estate market would get during COVID. If you hesitated about selling your commercial or residential real estate during this time, don't miss your opportunity to get out on top. Let JJ Manning Auctioneers help you auction your real estate quickly, contingency-free, and for strong dollars. You will set the terms, you will set the closing date, and the buyer will pay the commissions. For over 45 years and 16,000 auctions, J.J. Manning has been the trusted leader in accelerated real estate sales. To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you could be the next one. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. I'm Howie Carr.
You might want to keep a close eye on your fried clams. Mm, yum, 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 yum. Howie Carr returns after this.
Yum, yum, yum.
Gave you a gun, the authority to use it. One is no good without the other. They don't know that out there. So they'll scream blue murder until the next time they need a man with a badge.
Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Again, if you haven't signed those petitions yet, check out those two websites, StopTCITax.com and MassVoterID.com, and see where you can sign them. And let's get these questions onto the ballot. And if Charlie Parker isn't running for re-election, this will be a way to stick a thumb in his eye one final time, stop him from getting his dream of raising the gas tax in the state on a gallon of gas from 24 to 62 cents, as if gas isn't already expensive enough, right? So Rand Paul takes well-deserved victory lap after documents prove Fauci lied his rear end off to him. It turns out U.S. taxpayer money did go for gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, despite Dr. Anthony Fauci's heated denials of that. The top National Institutes of Health officials, Lawrence Tabak, just admitted the ugly truth while blaming the NIH's grantee, New York-based EcoHealth Alliance for failing to report it. Now, Fauci's going to say, well, that was just one case. We don't know about it. But he told Rand Paul that none of this had ever happened. But it did. It did happen. And let's play cut 13. I'm sorry we didn't have more time to talk about this today. Cut 13. This is Rand Paul.
He's been parsing words. He's been sort of kind of going around the subject, and he never fully explains why it's not gain of function. But I think his explanation is this. Oh, it was inadvertent. We didn't know they were going to gain function. Well, that's what a gain of function experiment is. You don't know when you combine two viruses if it'll be more deadly, but it might be. If you have half a brain, if you combine two viruses, it sure might be more deadly. So he knew it was a gain of function experiment. He just didn't know the result of the experiment.
And here's the question, cut 14. We'll be leaving very shortly, but here's cut 14.
Will realize that Dr. Fauci's been steadfast in this. He said early on, even back to 2012, that should a scientist catch one of these diseases and spread it as a pandemic, that the collective accumulation of science would be worth the deaths of the people who die. And that's the question right. People need to ask him, but nobody on the left will ask him, was it worth 5 million people dying?
You think he'll be asked that on the morning chat shows? You think F. Chuck Todd? I don't think so. Jake Tapper? All those Democrat operatives with press passes? Nah, I don't think so. What are you stocking up a Halloween candy, doctor? I'm Howie Carr.